was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. Now just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Come on and let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer for yearning, as your heart to heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems red without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud I may have the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Come on and let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer for yearning, as your heart to heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Come on and let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little breath for yearning, as your heart unto heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. The song of encouragement, be him 605. Please mark him 605. Well, he's sweet, I know. Yes, he's sweet, I know. Well, dark clouds may rise and strong winds may blow. Oh, well, I'll tell the world, oh, wherever I go. Let me tell you now that I've found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. Oh, well,
Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 5. And we also accept electronic instruments as Bibles too. First Peter chapter number 5. And I have a topic here. It's kind of a question, and it's a long question. So we're going to try to read that to you. It did not appear in the bulletin this morning. But this was meant more to be kind of a, you know, fireside type chat of something that maybe we ought to look at. So the question for the topic is this. What if something that appeared good was particularly bad and it slipped right by us? What if something that appeared to be good, but it's actually bad, potentially bad, and then it slipped right by us? And what we're talking about is we're talking about how we get involved in our Christian living and so forth, and we have things that appear to be good relative to our Christian living, but they come up bad. And then, but the part that could be bad, we don't notice it, and then it slipped right by us. It slipped by us, and the point that we're trying to make is, what if this thing catch us in a web or catch us in a position to where we suffer the affliction from not being able to see the potentially bad part of something that appears to be good? So we want to read from 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and we're starting with verse number 6. Verse number 6 in 1 Peter chapter number 5 says this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Peter is wrapping up his first letter, his general epistle to Christian people. But in verse number 8, he makes a statement there, and sometimes we might see the devil as a roaring lion. But that's not quite what is said in this particular verse. It says, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. The thing that I want to bring out is, what if he's very silent on the issue? Not making a lot of noise, but he's still slipping this thing right by us. And we're falling prey to this silent thing. We don't hear it, we don't see it coming necessarily, but it goes right by us and then it snags us. See, this is the thing that might appear to be good, but it's potentially bad, and it slips right by us. And we fail to see it coming. And therefore we fall prey to this particular thing. We might ask the question, what are some things that might slip right by us? And I think a real good answer for that ought to be, there are many things out there that might slip right by us. Now, television has a lot of problems. But have you noticed how hard television is working to make everybody acceptable of alternative lifestyle? Have you noticed that? You see, that's one of those things that's real calm. As a matter of fact, if you don't accept it, you're the one that's the bad guy. And everybody else is a good guy. And that's one of those potential things that might come along and slip right by us. And 20 years down the road, what's going to happen?
is going to be an acceptable thing for the most part. And then we go out and we learn to live by that. Now, we got other problems. You see, adultery and fornication is bad, but it's already gone. But now this one is coming. It's on an equal ground, but it might slip right by us, you see, because everybody said, well, everybody got a right to their own lifestyle. Well, that's right. But then you don't have right to please God and go to heaven if you choose your own lifestyle, you see. This is just one of the things, and there are many other things that we look at. You know, the thought by parents of how they ought to control what's on television, their educational things on TV, but a lot of garbage. So therefore, we need to do it, you see. You know, we hurt when we had the storm. We needed TV because we wanted to see what the news had to say about the weather. That's one of the good parts of it. But then you look at the other side, and then there's a bad part. So these are things that that slip right by us. You see, the language that's used on the television now, it's just standard bad language. I remember when I first entered college way back in the 60s, I had a limited license by the Federal Communication Commission. And, you know, if you wanted to do anything, and Kevin, you probably understand that, but if you wanted to be a disc jockey or anything in, you know, relative to broadcasting, you had to have, quote, an FCC license, and that was a little test you had to take, and there were rules you had to do, and they laid out all these things. You shall not do this. You can't do this. We don't allow this, you know, all of these kind of things. Well, there can't be such an animal out there for the most part anymore, because you name the language, and you can hear it over the air now. Now, I realize there's some parts of the air that there are still people that are respectable out there. But for the most part, all of this, you know, it is gone. And so now everybody's saying, I can't express myself if I don't emphasize it with powerful four-letter words. Can you imagine that? And you know what I think about that, don't you? That's a lack of intellect. To think that that's the only way you can express yourself is to use a, quote, powerful four-letter word. But there's something that I think that's even more pressing than that particular thing, and that's this. I picked up a book, and I was reading it. I've been trying to do a little research. I picked up a book, and I was reading it, and it says this. Christian young people are not transferring the biblical knowledge they have into a biblical worldview. By worldview, we mean, it's a buzzword, which means to respond with Christ-likeness in all situations. Now, this is what's happening. As a matter of fact, not just that particular thing, but when we look at the fact that this knowledge is not being transferred to a biblical worldview, we're weakening the church of tomorrow. When we look back, we keep looking at a generation after a generation after a generation, and we're weakening the church of tomorrow because maybe they got the knowledge, but it's not being transferred into a worldview. Parents and churches are not passing on a robust Christian faith and an accompanying commitment to Christ. Now, the second one is not about the youth, but the second one is about the parents and the grown-ups. They're not passing on a commitment. So, you know, if children don't see me commit, why should they commit? Why should they want to do it if I'm not willing to commit myself? And normally our children mimic us, don't they? So we would love for them to mimic some of our good because they do a good job of mimicking our bad. And not only that, they will remind us that you did it, so I ought to be able to do it also. So at least give them the power of God to mimic and to look at as something that ought to happen. But a third thing that I read, and this was very shocking, only 10 to 15% of young people will maintain a biblical worldview after about age 18, 18 to 30, only 10 to 15%. The other 85 to 90% will only claim Christ in word only. Now that put a question on me. I wonder, where do I fit in that group? I wonder if I fit in the 10 to 15% or do I fit in the 85 to 90%? when we began to look at that. Now, why did this happen? We need to ask that particular question. And then after we get a why that it happened, then we need to next come and say, what do we need to do about it? Is it a crisis? What do we need to do about it to get it fixed and to get on the right road? Well, you know, I work in a world, I mean on my physical job, and we look at a lot of metrics. What I mean about metrics, we're always trying to take this thing and measure this by it, and we're looking for something every day, and we're trying to keep a balance and even improve where we are now going. And this is just the way it goes in my work world, and I imagine it goes the same way in your work world. Terry, in your work world, because I know what you do, you're very, very connected to metrics, because if you don't produce, you don't have anything to do, right? So we need a metric. And most of us, we are like that. And everything out there is a job in sales, whether your job looks like it or not. Because if someone somewhere don't buy a product, we don't have anything to sell. So therefore, we need to look at it this way. So what is happening with this? We only got 10 or 15% of the young people still holding on. So what does that mean? Who's going to be the church leaders 40 years from now? See, some of us are not going to be living 40 years from now if God bless all of us. Amen. Okay? If we go out to 60 years, most of us are not going to be living 60 years from now if God blesses all of us to have a long life. Are you with me? So what's going to happen to where we are now, the fact that the Lord's church needs to be somewhere and someone needs to take a stand? Who's going to do that particular job? It might be because something that appears good, we missed it, and it slipped right by us, and it snuck up on us, and it caused us to fall prey to something that's really going to be devastating to the whole world. I want to tell you this. We can have a world filled with geniuses, but if we have no godliness in it, where will we be? What will we do? How will we operate if there's no godliness in the world that we're going to be in? And it's only our children that have a hope to be there. I'm talking about children of Christian parents. But are we seeing what we ought to see, or is it slipping right by us? Churches where Christian parents and Christian children attend, are we seeing what we ought to see, or is it slipping right by us? When we began to look and when we began to see this, think back in some of your family. Haven't you seen those who come along and they had the same opportunity that you have, and then all of a sudden they just abandon the faith? Just right off, just wholeheartedly abandon the faith. We ought to look back and ask, what happened? What caused that? I think we can see some of that here, but we can easier see it in our family because we are closer to and we understand the situation. And we see those that just wholeheartedly shake their head and turn away from God, and they just won't do that particular thing. And still at this particular time, they've not cried out and called on God for his help. So here, when we look at this whole thing, we got a problem. As parents and grown-ups, how do we reap the benefits of Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6? It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. How do we reap that benefit if we don't do the right work on the front end? How do we reap that benefit? Now, there's a story in the Bible about the prodigal son, but I think that story is written for me and it's written for you. See, I think we all have some prodigal lifestyle in us. And so how do we take this story now that's written? And then how do we come back and how do we understand how not to fall prey one way or the other? Worst case, we hope we all come to ourselves. We hope our children come to themselves and they come back. But it's not going to happen unless what happened according to the scripture, unless we train them up in the way they should go. They don't have anything to come back to, because they didn't have any foundation in the first place. You see, so even though it looks good, you know, I've always wondered, why is it easier to sleep in on the first day of the week than it is on the seventh day of the week? I've always wondered about that. Or the second day of the week. You know, second day of the week is Monday. Have you noticed that there's really not a big problem with people sleeping in on the second day of the week? Not a big problem. But there's a big problem with people sleeping in on the first day of the week. What did we do wrong here? Now, did we train them the wrong way by sleeping in ourselves, and then it looked like it was all right, and then it slipped right by us? You see, it looked like it was good. I'm getting a lot of rest. Because I remember long, long ago, and this may not even be a jingle in nowadays because I don't know what they use, but that was a jingle that they always sang back in the day, and that is, weekends are made for Michelob. So you see, they made it as if all it was about was beer drinking and having fun, but not about serving God. There's never anything that talks about weekends are made for serving God. We just don't see it that way. It's almost like I need to get off my job so I can go and take care of me. But if I take care of my physical, and if I don't have my spiritual fulfilled, am I really taken care of? We need to ask ourselves that particular question. But you see, if we don't do what we ought to do, then how are we going to reap that benefit? Now, the Lord said it, and I think in the parable of the prodigal, I think that was put there to show that the same thing that was written in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. And then, you know, after the prodigal lived the roughest life, you know what the Bible said? And he came to himself. And see, you could tell that he knew about God because he said, I've sinned against God and against my Father, you see. He knew all of this, so then he came back. And he did that, but without that foundation, are we going to be able to accomplish the things that we really ought to in our lives as well as in the life of the next generation? You see, many of us want to leave a little something to our kids. Well, let's just say the economy is so bad we don't have any money. So why don't we leave a little spiritual inheritance to them? That they really have something that they can depend on, you see. Let's leave just a little bit of that to our kids. The roaring lion is devouring our Christian young people very silently. You know, they just began to drop off and drop off and drop off. You know, I went to college. Most of y'all went to college. Did we see the commitment that probably we should have had or that some of us should have had relative to what we should have done? And you know, it's not a commitment about mom and daddy anymore, young people. It's a commitment to God. And I know mom and daddy had that part on the front end, but it's a commitment to God now. And so if you don't watch us, the roaring lion will come in and eat us alive, and we'll never hear a word and just disappear in thin air. Something that appears to be good. You know, we're going off to college, everything looked good. You know, it's a new life, and I'm told in that 10 years, 15 to 25, we do more in that 10 years than we will do in the other 80 years if we live to be 90. If we live to be 90 in that 10 years, we do more than we do the 15 years before and the 65 years afterwards. Because this is when we get involved in everything, you know. But if we fail to stay involved with God, we still miss the whole balance. And somewhere it's left up to us, parents, church leaders, grown-ups, to teach, and not only to teach, but to demonstrate that this is the way it needs to be. But is it because I'm not really being a good example? You know, I show up. But showing up is one thing, but in an example, we're talking about an example that other people will grasp, that they will catch on to, and then they will move forward and make a difference because I bring something to the table that seems worthwhile. This is what we mean by an example. So therefore, you know, when we began to look at this, why does it happen? What is it about the faith commitment of us parents, us church leaders, Bible school teachers, and grown-ups that does not find root in the lives of our children. Something is happening. We're losing a lot of strength. I read some information to where there was a survey done at 65 Christian colleges, okay, Bible schools, not secular colleges, you know, not the football schools, but the Christian college. And they said that they felt that Bible knowledge and even the view of the students coming in appreciating Bible had fallen by 35 or 40%. That was those who used to give an entrance exam in Bible, and now they don't give it anymore. And the reason they stopped giving it is because they said the interest is not there, so therefore there was no need, and the Bible department is almost fading away. You know, the strict part of Bible is almost fading away, even at the Bible colleges. They're teaching more of an activated, involved lifestyle. But what good is a lifestyle if we don't know the foundational principles? You know, one of the first things that we learn in everything else we do, we look at the basis whereby we do things. Now, I have an executive order that I work to every day. Some of us have a specification, you know, some of us have a regulation from within our company. You understand what I'm saying? Some of us got some kind of guideline that we got. So we go to that guideline, to that regulation, to that order, and we live. But even when we come to this particular vocation, we have an order, a guideline, and a regulation. And this order, this guideline, and this regulation is something that's here for us to live by. But if we don't know it, if we don't know where it is, if we don't refer to it, how are we going to be able to do that? Too often I hear this statement. Well, let me tell you what I really believe. That's a wrong view. That view need to be strengthened by my belief need to be the same as God would have it to be in order for us to move in the right direction. For if it's not, then the roaring lion, in a very silent manner, he's winning and he's stealing all of us away. And we're not accomplishing the goal. You see, I don't just have the goal to try to get me to heaven. I have the goal to try to do whatever is necessary to help you to get there. But you don't just have the goal of trying to get you to heaven. But you have the goal to do what's necessary to help us get there. And we all have the goal to reach out and help others, and especially reach down to serve that younger generation, to set up the right standard to help them to go in the right direction. We got a requirement. We got something we must do. You see, I have heard this many times, and it may be more true today than ever. Our missing heaven will not nearly be as much by commission of sin, committing sin, as it will be by omitting the things that we ought to do. You see, if you recall, I think it's Matthew 25. Jesus talked about a sin there, and he talked about a sin of omission. Listen to what he said. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. You see, that's not a commission. That's an omission. I was sick and you didn't visit me. Do you see the omission part? And there's a big piece in the Bible about omitting what we're supposed to do instead of ever committing anything that's wrong, because many of us, we know what's right and we strive to do that. But where's that balance between knowing the word and then finding a balance between activating it where we reach out and truly touch the one that we are supposed to teach? A couple other things, and we want to leave this on your heart, but I pray that it help us look in the right direction. Christian young people do not know nearly as much about the Bible as they used to know. And then the question is, now who's to blame for that? Who's to blame for that? Who's to blame for our Christian young people and everybody's Christian young people not knowing as much about the Bible as they used to know? If I were to really get sincere with God, I'd have to stand up and say, I'm to blame. But guess what you got to do? Stand up and say, I'm to blame for this not happening. It's amazing. And this was a fact that really stood out. How fast our young people can navigate online. Yet, a majority of them are so slow at finding things in the Bible. Y'all remember this morning? You know where Haggai is? Remember? It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. But many of us, we have a hard time finding that, but it's in there. You remember that just this morning, you see. But now, if we need to navigate something, it's easy. Now, you know, us older people, we just hadn't learned how to navigate. We don't know where to find it in the Bible either. But we just haven't learned how to navigate, so we can't just blame it on them. We need to learn what is in the Bible, and if we're not, we ought to just learn how to navigate and be just like the young people. But the whole thing is not the inability for learning. It's the inability of somebody putting the process in place so we can work and so we can accomplish what it is we ought to. Now, you got to remember, the next generation, I'm responsible, you're responsible for this next generation. Parents are number one responsible for the next generation. You see, the first responsibility in the church and in the school goes to the parents. And then the second responsibility goes to the leadership in those two organizations or institutions, you see. But you see, too often we point a finger. I was reading an article where one gentleman said, many people think that a youth minister is a solution to their panicky problems with their young people. And that's not true. Now, youth minister is there to do, a youth ministry is there to do a lot of work. But that's not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is back to Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6. And that particular thing said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. The last thing is this. We need to be very well aware of this. We have a grave problem. It's destroying our young people, and it's destroying our congregation. It's destroying our young people, and it's destroying our congregation. You know, normally we face a problem right after it just happened. Right after it just happened. But there's an old saying, goes something like this. An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. And it's high time that we go to work to make sure we make the ounce of prevention stick. You see, normally, if we do the right thing, eat the right thing, get a little exercise, you know, drink water, rest, all this kind of stuff, there's a pretty good chance we're going to be healthy. But if you violate all those rules, don't wait until you get 39 and then holler, Lord, what's wrong with me? Lord, we tried to kill ourselves the first 39 years. That's what's wrong with us. You see? But that little ounce of prevention will beat that pound of cure all day. And I also read, you can go to all the hospitals and all the doctors, and this didn't come from a Bible, this came from a scientist. You can go to all the hospitals and all the doctors, and they can fix. But God has to heal. And there's nothing wrong. We need fixing. But we still got to have time to heal. You know what to tell you after they fix you? Now you go home and take care of yourself, and you do like this, and you rest easy for this number of days, and you take this therapy, and you know what we do? For that 14 days and 27 minutes, we do exactly what they say. And on the 14th day and the 28th minute, we go right back to doing what it was that caused us to fall into that situation in the first place. The same thing is true here. You know, the Bible said, study to show yourself approved. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says, teach it to them when you rise up. and when you're in your house and when you sit it down and when you're about to go to bed. You know, this is what the Bible says. That's the ounce of prevention. So this is something that I hope we can see. It says this. Something that may appear good, but it's potentially bad. And it slipped right by us. Didn't seem like there was any harm in the way that these things happen, you see. Didn't seem like it was, but what happened? But at least the parent of the prodigal worked hard to try to do their part. They worked hard to do their part. And the prodigal came back to where the parents intended. God said it would work. But what about those that don't come back? Where are they? What's going to be their end? And what about the torture that we have to go through wondering, could I have done something different? And you know, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me and looking forward to those things which are before me. So this is a good day. If I whatever I haven't done to this time, let's not worry about that. But then let's look forward and let's try to do the right thing from here on. Let's reach out and see what it is we need to do, to do all we can to get involved. We got to get involved, because if we don't reach out and touch the lives of our young people, somebody will. Somebody's going to touch that life. And whatever their lifestyle is, that's what they're going to teach them that's good. But we hope that we step up to the plate and teach them a well-balanced life of godliness, so that we can overcome part of this decline that we're seeing all over the nation at this particular time. This is not just about churches of Christ. This is about all the religious institutions in the world. They're seeing a decline of people going in a worse direction than they're already in. And we need to turn this up and go in a positive direction. This is food for thought that I hope we take in. That we look out, and when we see someone, we realize what it is we ought to be doing, and we try to step up and take some kind of stand on making the world a better place. Because whatever we leave today has everything to do with what the world is going to be like tomorrow. God left me here, and he left you here to prepare for this. Nobody else is going to do it. We are all that he has. He has entrusted this job into my hands. He has entrusted it into your hands. So today is the day for me to begin to make a commitment and make a difference. We beg you, think about it. Think about it in your heart and think about the commitments you need to make. If there's a commitment you need to make or anything in your life that needs to be changed, then we beg you, make that change. If you need the prayer, God's children, then we also offer you that. So whatever it is, we beg you, make it known, but make the right change and do it. Do it right now while we stand, while we sing.